I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Ephesians chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 3. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, we thank you for how our hearts have been stirred tonight by the music, by the testimony, Lord, then by the privilege to open up your word and to read it. And I pray, Lord, that not only would we read it, but we'll hear as you give us, Lord, thy voice from heaven. Lord, I pray that not only would we hear, I pray that we would obey and would be wise in our decisions, would follow you. Strengthen us through thy word. Lord, may thy will be done in our lives. We're going to give you the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've talked before about being made accepted in the beloved. What a story that is, that he hath made us accepted. That's good, isn't it? In other words, while the world's looking for acceptance and while individuals are looking to be accepted from a whole group of people, the Lord Jesus Christ made us accepted in himself. But the Bible goes on, and beginning in verse number 8 tonight, we're going to look at some things. The Bible says, "He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." So we read of his abundance toward us in this wisdom and prudence. And in verse number 9, he reveals to us the mystery of his will. We're not going to talk about that mystery tonight, but we understand that God has a will for our lives. And we know that God's not willing that any should perish, so it's God's will that we're saved. It's God's will that we would serve the Lord. It's God's will that we would be separated. We understand these things. And he makes known to us the mystery of his will. In other words, the world cannot understand what we understand. To the world, salvation's a mystery. To the people, to those that have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know it's a mystery to them why you're even here tonight. Why you would come to church on a Sunday night, you know? A Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night. I mean, you know, you've just flown off the deep end now when you go on a Wednesday night to church. The mystery of his will, though, is something that God reveals to us by his Spirit. And there's a whole message that could be involved in that, and maybe I'll go back and preach on that sometime. But then we see this wonderful thought that's given to us in verse number 10. The Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So we have this wonderful thought that's shown to us that in an appointed time, he's going to gather together in one all things that are in Christ. Boy, there's going to be a glad reunion day, isn't there? There's going to be a time when heaven and earth shall meet together and all the redeemed of the Lord are going to be together forever. What a time that's going to be. I think about loved ones that have gone on. I think about family friends. I think about just acquaintances down through the years. I think about people that I've pastored and that I've loved so dearly. I think about them, and I remember watching many of them there in a hospital bed or at their home, and watch them just get smaller and smaller and weaker, and praying really for the mercy of God to take hold of their life and to take them on home. Realizing that one day they'll have a new body and one day everything's going to be all right. And the very instant that they left this world, they were in the presence of the Lord. But one of these days, the Bible says He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. That's going to be at the rapture. We understand that. It's going to be a blessed event, no doubt about it. I wish the rapture would take place today. I wish the Lord Jesus would return now, you know. Dustin, we wouldn't be talking about going to Iraq. We'd be rejoicing in glory, wouldn't we? Wouldn't be separated. What a time that's going to be. Those that are already in heaven and those that remain here are going to come together. It's going to be an exciting time. Even in Him, the Bible says, even in Him. That's a wonder, isn't it? I think about the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. And tonight I don't want to preach on that. The wonder of it all. We lose that wonder sometimes. We get saved. Then we live our lives and we just lose the purpose of life. We lose the wonder of it all. It's like we get caught in a rut or we just get in our little comfort zone and then God begins to move us out of that comfort zone and we fight to stay in it. You know, we want to stay where we feel best. We want to stay where we're the most comfortable and I'm telling you, the greatest place to be in your life is in the center of God's will. And God's will is not always the comfort zone. As a matter of fact, I found out most of the time it's not the comfort zone, you know. Most of the time He's extending you and extending your life to do greater things for Him. But we get saved and we have a fire about us and there's an excitement. You remember when you first got saved? You remember what it was like? How relieved you were and how excited you were? How that you'd passed from death unto life, from darkness to light and you were changed and you were made a new creature in Christ. And all of a sudden, I mean, there was this excitement. You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. You couldn't wait to open up a songbook and sing the old hymns of Zion. When they started singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, your heart got stirred up. When they started singing, "There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know," you begin to rejoice about the day that's going to be over yonder. When they begin to say, "We'll understand it better by and by," you begin to say, "Life may be tough now, but when we get there with Him, we'll understand why all these things happen." You remember that? And boy, we get so excited, we get saved, and we're so encouraged, and we're so happy, but then something happens. We just get stuck in the mud, you know? And we lose the wonder of it all. But tonight, I think if we'll review these verses, verse 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, I believe it'll help us to understand the wonder of it all. To be excited all over again about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and about this new life. It goes beyond all that we could ever imagine. It goes beyond what we were thinking about when we first got saved, realizing that heaven was going to be our home, realizing that Christ was our Savior, realizing that we were safe in His arms. I'm telling you, it goes far beyond that. Because God saved us and He's left us here. And He's given us this life that we have. Through the ups and the downs, through the mountaintops and the valleys, through the wonderful times and the difficult times, God's making our life. And boy, when we get our eyes on Him, we'll never lose the wonder of it all. I want you to look with me tonight. Until the time that the Lord Jesus comes again, we need to remember these things. I want you to look verse number 11. The Bible says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." I want you to understand tonight that we are predestinated for His purpose. We are predestinated for His purpose. Now, don't let that word scare you. Predestination is a wonderful word that God has given to us. And when you study the Bible, you're going to find out that predestination always deals with believers. God has a plan for our life. And God has a purpose for our life. He has a purpose for every believer. And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has predestinated some things to take place in your life. We don't always understand. But it's all part of God's working. Pastor Sexton preaches a message on unconscious preparation. And there are things that you went through as a child that prepared the way for you to get to the point to where you are today. I want you to understand that God has predestinated us for His purpose. We talked about this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But it goes on in verse number 10 and it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." In other words, God saved us by grace, but when He saved us, we became a representative of His grace. That workmanship means that we're a trophy of the grace of God. And God has a purpose to display His grace in our lives. In other words, what God predestined for us, what God planned for us, for me, He had a plan for me to be a preacher. I have no doubt about that. He didn't plan for every man to be a preacher of the gospel. He didn't plan for every woman to be a preacher's wife. He planned for some people to be an engineer. He planned for some people to be an architect. He planned for some people, no doubt, to do certain things. But everything that God has for you, if you'll get in on it, you'll realize that God can use that which He's given you to bring glory and honor unto Him. By the way, God doesn't give you the job you have to not glorify Him. He gave it to you so that you can represent Him. Why? You're His workmanship. You're His trophy. You are to display the grace of God. He has predestinated a purpose for your life. He has something for you to do. He saved you to serve. He saved you that you could do something wonderful for Him. He doesn't save us just so we can go to heaven. Thank God. That's the benefit of it. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures, they're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But I still have a life to live. I still have days here in this world. And while this world may not be my home, and while heaven's going to be my eternal home, God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and He predestinated us for a purpose. And boy, when we think about that, we'll not lose the wonder of it all. Think about it tonight. Think about it. God wants to use you, and God wants to use me, and He wants to take this old worthless piece of clay that He made worth everything because He paid for it with His precious blood, and He wants to take this man, and He wants to take you, whoever you are, and He wants to use your life on purpose for Him. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. I get excited when I think about God wants to use me. He saves us to serve Him. And God's purpose in our life may not always be easy. It may not always be simple, but it's always the very best thing for us. And everything that ever happens in your life, I want you to know, everything that happens in your life, many of these things, many of the events, positive events, great things that happen, or many detrimental things that you think are just absolutely the most horrible thing that you could possibly go through, they're all there just to help us and to show us His purpose for our lives. You realize those dark valleys you've gone through? If I were to ask you to raise your hand tonight on how many of you have been in a dark valley, every one of us would raise our hand. But in that dark valley, you know what you found? You found you needed the Lord. And you found when you put your faith and trust in Him to help you in the valley, He carried you through, didn't He? What a Savior. Predestinated for a purpose. And the difficult things in life, God's using that to mold our lives, to help us to serve Him in a greater way. The Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, gathered together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So there's a day coming we're all going to be together. But until then, the Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Now, how can you know God's purpose tonight? How can you know? Well, first of all, you can know by the Spirit of God. Notice what the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16 and verse number 13. Now, I want you to keep your place there in Ephesians chapter number 1, because we're going right back to it. But in John chapter 16 and verse number 13, the Bible teaches us that we can know God's purpose for our life through the Spirit of God. He says in verse number 13, notice with me, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." You know what He's saying? The Lord Jesus said, "I have to go away." That's what He's given here. He's given something to them. He said, "Look, I've got to go away, but when I go, I'm going to send another Comforter, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's going to come." And now, who lives in us if we're saved? The Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead. By the way, he's co-equal, co-existing, eternally existent with God the Father and with God the Son. He's just as much God as God the Father and God the Son is God. And he lives in us. And the Spirit of God lives in us to show us that God has a purpose for our lives. You know, there's so many Christians that think their life has no purpose or no meaning. They think that the troubles they've gone through has absolutely no meaning in their life. But I want you to know tonight, everything that happens in your life has a purpose. We may not always understand it, but if we'll allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives, he'll show us that God has a purpose. Then we have the Scriptures of God. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Don't want to rehash all that. The Bible teaches us that the Scriptures are what it is that makes us wise unto salvation. And we understand that when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that the Word of God is there to give us our doctrine, to give us our reproof, to correct us, and to show us how to live right, to give us the instruction in righteousness. So we have the Scriptures of God to help us to understand God's purpose, to understand God's plan for our lives. And then we have the servants of God. The Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter number 1 and verse number 5, "For this cause," Paul writes to Titus, and he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And it gives some qualifications of certain things. And then in chapter number 2, it talks about the aged men and the aged women and the young women and the young men. And it talks about all these different things. And so we have the servants of God. Now, I want you to understand, these servants of God are not the final authority. God is the final authority. You know? Look, you know what I am? I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor, but I'm robed in flesh. And I'll make my mistakes, and I'll do things the wrong way, and I'll not handle things the right way. I'm robed in flesh. So you ought never bow at the feet of a pastor. You ought never. My loyalty tonight is to no man but Christ. And tonight we need to understand that, because while men may fail us, God will never fail us. But when the servant of God is preaching the truth of God and following God, then you ought to allow that servant to help us to find God's purpose in our life. As he preaches the Bible, the Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God works through the Scriptures as the servant of God preaches the truth. Predestinated for a purpose. When I start just getting down in the valley, you know, you ever have a pity party? Look, I throw the best. I have the best pity parties in all the world. I can feel sorry for myself than anybody else can, you know. I know how to make myself down in the dumps. I know how to give myself the molly grubs. I know how to get myself down so low that I feel like I just won't be able to climb out of it. And I'll sit around and I'll start singing, "Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me." How pitiful that is. I've never went through what the Lord Jesus went through for me. I was never perfect, was never so righteous as he was righteous. Yet they sought to beat him, to crucify him, and they nailed him to the cross. But when they nailed him to the cross, it was not just him that they nailed to the cross. It was our sins and our sorrow and our shame and our suffering. He paid it all for me. And so tonight, when I began to lose the wonder of it all, I just need to remind myself I've been predestinated for his purpose. You know, I've been predestinated for his purpose. I remember when God was dealing with me about coming to East Lavenue Baptist Church and moving to Tampa, Florida. And I thought, man, I'm leaving the church and we got all these different things. We have all this stuff happening here. And I mean, we were growing and great things were happening. And, you know, I could talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. We'd actually gotten to the point where we couldn't grow anymore. We filled up the building and then we lost people because people couldn't find a seat. Isn't that amazing? I'd like to have that problem here, wouldn't you? And I'll never forget, you know, we had a youth group. We had all kinds of things going on. We'd have neighborhood Bible time. We'd have 70 to 100 teenagers. We'd have over 100 junior age children. My kids were getting ready to go into that. If For a while, I didn't know if my daughter was going to forgive me for moving. And then you come, and it's so difficult to face these things. And I got here, and things just didn't automatically happen. You live in a dream world sometimes, right? You think it's just going to, boom, happen. And then God helped me to realize He has me here for a purpose. God has a plan for my life. This isn't just some flippant thing that I'm going through. God has a plan, and He has a purpose. And I want to be in on it. I don't want to miss it. I want to enjoy the journey. And I want to have the time of my life. And I'm doing pretty good at it. I don't know anybody that enjoys living as much as I do. I may not have what other people have, but I have everything I need. I have the Lord. If I didn't have anything else, I wouldn't need anything else. You say, what about food? Well, He said He'd provide every meal. I said, what about clothing? He said, if I seek first the kingdom of God, He'd take care of all these things. See, I don't have to worry about all that. I just have to be in His will. And when I want to lose the wonder of it all, and I want to get down in the dumps, I just remember that I have been predestinated for a purpose, and I'm here on purpose. My kids and I, we've talked about it. And Faith's getting ready to go into a youth group that had lots of kids, and we have kids around here. We just got to get them more involved in the youth group. More involved in the youth group and getting going, getting under this good preaching that we take them to and get them involved in these things, We just got to get that to happen. But, we was leaving all that, and she's told me, she said, I've had so many opportunities to serve the Lord here, and that just blesses my heart. And I said, Lord, You brought us here on purpose. And how long is He going to leave us here? Hopefully till the day I die. Or He comes, whichever comes first. Now, if He comes, I'm going. So I'm out of here. If you're left behind, you just have to fend for yourself. It's not going to be my fault because I preach the truth, But just realize God has a purpose for your life, and you've got to get in on that purpose. I get so excited about what God's done here. Oh, there's more I want to see. But God has a purpose. Then I want you to see, secondly, the praise of His person. This helps us to not lose the wonder of it all. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. I want you to know what the Bible says in verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. Look at verse number 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions, unto the praise of His glory. So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants us to realize that our Lord is worthy of our praise. I'm telling you, we can praise everything in the world. And boy, we get in church and we act like we've been sucking on a popsicle all the way. A persimmon popsicle at that, I see people come into the church with a frown on their face and they think, boy, it's just a difficult thing to be here. I'm telling you, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you ought to be so excited when you walk through the doors that there ought to be a little skip in your step, and you ought to be ready to praise the Lord when you get here. Why? Because we're His purchased possession. Why? Because He has this plan for our life. Why should we praise the Lord? Because He's made us accepted in the beloved by His grace. Why should we praise the Lord? Because we have trusted in Christ. That's why we should be praising the Lord. We have to understand, though, that not only do we have an inheritance in Christ, but He has an inheritance in us. Oh, yes. He died for me. And now He lives for me. And He wants to be with me. Think about that. That'll help you not lose the wonder of it all. The Lord Jesus is yearning to be with those for whom He died. I believe He's ready to go. I believe just as soon as His Father gives the command, Son, go get your bride. Before the words get out of the Father's mouth, the Son will be on the way. We'll hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of the Lord and the shout, and the trump of God and the shout of the Lord. I believe that shout's going to be one of those shouts because He's so excited about being with us. We're His inheritance. Oh, yeah. Now, I want you to understand, we are the inheritance. We have an inheritance in Him, but He has an inheritance in us. And we should rejoice in Him the way that He and all the angels of heaven rejoiced the moment that we were saved, the moment that we trusted Him. And I think all eternity, it's not going to be enough time for us to praise Him. So I imagine it would just be good for us to get started now. Just praising the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be standing up shouting. It just means you pray everywhere you're praising the Lord. You know what that is? Talking of Him. Lifting Him up. Telling the world about Jesus. And when you come to church, you praise Him by the way that you sing. You praise Him by the way that you respond. You praise Him by the testimonies that you give. You praise Him by everything you do when it's all directed to Him. The praise of His person. I tell you, when you get to the point in your life where you're just living it for the praise of His person, you'll not lose the wonder of it all. You'll be excited about the life you have. Then the third thing I want you to see, the promise by His power. I love this. The Bible says in verse number 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What a glorious truth we have in this verse. See, the word of God is the vehicle that brings us to the Lord. We said this morning, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's no doubt about that. And the Bible says here, for those that heard the word of truth, and then they trusted in the word of truth. Notice what it says, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. So when you heard the word of truth and you trusted the word of truth, it became the gospel of your salvation. It became the salvation for your soul. When you heard it, and you obeyed it. And at that very moment, the very instant you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now I know you've heard me say this so many times before, but I think it's worth repeating. Salvation is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. That's what salvation is. It's a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. When one is saved, the Holy Spirit places that person into that covenant. Imagine with me. You have the Father, you have the Son. And here you are in this world, and the Holy Spirit brings to you the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit places you into that covenant. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and places you in that covenant, and then He seals the covenant. He is the seal of our salvation. He places us in the covenant. He becomes the seal of that transaction. And I want you to know, we're not sealed to escape all the troubles and all the trials that life's going to throw at us, but we're sealed against the possibility of losing our salvation. The only way someone that's saved could ever be lost, listen to this, the only way a saved person could ever be lost is for God the Father or God the Son to break the covenant. In other words, they'd have to cease to be God. And it's not going to happen. You remember they said, I and my Father are one, Jesus said. He always has been. And He always will be God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the everlasting Father, the Bible says. I like that term. The everlasting Father. Oh, what a promise. The promise by His power. And then finally, something that will help us to not lose the wonder of it all is when we realize the possession of His purchase. He paid for me on the cross of Calvary. He purchased me. And the Bible says in verse number 14, talking about that Holy Spirit of promise, says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I think this may be one of the most amazing things of all. Worthless and wretched and wicked, vile and vicious and violent, unloving and uncaring, unusual, unholy, sinful, slothful, sorry. That would describe most of us. Yet He loved us enough to die on the cross for us. And He purchased us. And He proves His possession of His purchase by the Holy Spirit. Because not only is this Holy Spirit the seal of our salvation, the Bible says He's also the earnest of our salvation. God gives us the Holy Spirit to show us that He's in earnest about our salvation. They used to call that years ago earnest money. When you wanted to buy a house, you had every intention of buying it. They would say, well, we need an earnest down. And they would take and they would give money to say, we're in earnest about this decision to purchase this property. That earnest meant it was theirs until everything was complete. Well, I want you to know you're just as saved as you ever will be saved. But your life's not complete, but God has given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit to prove the purchase of His possession. And one day He's going to take us out of this old world. And until that time, we have that earnest to say, just as sure as you're going to be in heaven, I want you to know you can know it now. You don't have to wait till you get there. You don't have to scratch your head every night and think, boy, I hope I go to heaven when I die. You can know now because you have the earnest of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty exciting if you ask me. If I could do it, I'd jump up and click my heels together and shout hallelujah. But I could try it once and I'd never be able to do it again. But when I think about it, when you think about it, it's good to be saved. Amen. And it's good to know that regardless of what comes my way, no matter how blessed or how tragic, I know heaven is mine. How could I lose the wonder of it all? The transaction, though it's not complete, it's assured by this earnest. Because the Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. It's the assurance of the purchased possession until the redemption of it is made real, until we're at home in heaven. It's assured. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Tonight, don't lose the wonder of it all. How many days do you have left? I don't know. So many. So many Christians I talk to. And look, I know the difficulties that people go through. The circumstances of life, and it's so easy to get defeated and to lose the wonder of it all. But may we see what we have in Christ, and may we do what we should do with Christ, and may we look and long for the coming of Christ. And as we look at these verses and as we think about our life, I think it'll help us to just keep the wonder of it all right in the front of our lives. There's a chorus that says, I've never lost the wonder of it all. I have never lost the wonder of it all since the day that Jesus saved me and a whole new life He gave me. I have never lost the wonder of it all. Don't lose the wonder of it all. Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting and I'm standing where I'm standing, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven's going to be your home. You say, well, how long is that going to be? I don't know. But there's not going to be one valley you go through alone. There'll not be one mountaintop that He doesn't allow you to have that you'll be at it alone. You'll never go anything without Him being by your side. It's a wonder, isn't it? Amen? Hope that encourages you tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us, caring so much for us to give us these truths to help us to live our days. Thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose for our life, a plan. May we be faithful to your will. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to praise you with the life we have. And as we live in your will, we realize, Lord, we'll be praising you with our lives. Lord, I want to thank you for that spirit, that promise that you've given to us, that we're sealed. Lord, I want to thank you that we've been purchased by you until the time that the redemption is final, when we're with you. Lord, that we're safe in the arms of God. Thank you for that. Bless, O Lord, now as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that we've been helped by your word tonight to go on for thee. Though the world may be in darkness, Lord, we have the light of Christ, and may we live in the light, and may we shine our lights before men. They may see our good works. Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We'll give you the glory for what's accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, Brother Chris is going to be singing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. How many say, "Preacher, the Lord's dealing with my heart about some things. Maybe I've lost the one."